News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, I got to go to a call that's been hanging on during the break, so let me grab that real quick. Steve in Tennessee. Steve, Phil Williams, how you doing today, man?
Yes, sir, I'm doing good today. I just wanted to comment on the Mo Brooks unendorsement, and I'll say this, having friends and family and retired military buddies across Alabama, I got a lot of friends that feel like Mo Brooks wasn't working hard enough. And I think Donald Trump is the kind of guy that says, you're not going to ride my coattails for free. You're going to have to work for it. And I don't think Mo is giving that impression. And I like Mo. I would have voted for him if I was in Alabama. But I think that's part of this, is that there's a perception out there amongst the folks I know that he was just kind of riding the train and not really pulling it. So that's my 2 cents. I'll let you go.
All right, man. Thank you. Appreciate it much. You know, there's been a lot of folks saying that. I have heard more than once that if you look at Mo's campaign, his campaign has centered on Trump endorsement. And the reality is he's got a voting record. He's got a longtime voting record. You know, the other two top candidates have their resumes, both of which have, you know, their own dynamic resume in a different direction. Katie Britt spent years in D.C. Working in the U.S. Senate as a chief of staff for Richard Shelby. She was the president of the Business Council of Alabama. Mike Durant had a stellar career in the military. He had that moment in time that became a flashpoint for his own legacy with the Battle of Mogadishu. He built a big company, so he knows what it means to actually put people to work. And then Mo is the only one who has a voting record. And one of the things that I have wondered for a great deal of time now is why Mo is not spending more time talking about who he is and what his voting record is and the things that he has stood for. And he'll probably say, I did do that. Okay, I saw flashpoints of it. But for the most part, what I did see, by and large, was I'm the Trump-endorsed candidate. And even down to his Twitter handle that says, you know, Mo Brooks Trump-endorsed, which I guess probably has to change today. I don't know. It's amazing to watch. And like I said earlier, there's 60 days between now and the primary. Mo did issue a statement, apparently. Maybe not a statement, but I think I saw that. I know what it was. Jeff Poore tweeted out that he talked to someone in Mo's camp who said that there's no way he's backing out of the race. He's all in. And he's also all in, I would say, because he's put it all on the line. I mean, he's left his congressional seat. He can't go back to it. So yeah, it's this or back to the private sector. And so anyway, we'll keep track of this, see how it goes. And I got another caller coming in on line 5. We may never get to the triple dipper. Who knows? That's okay, though. I got great callers. Copper, highlight that name as soon as you're ready for it. That's a topic we're not talking about right now, but I guess we can just go ahead and see what he's got. So highlight his name when you're ready. But yeah, so Mo Brooks, we'll see. Now the next question is who gets the endorsement, because Trump says he's going to make one. I'm going to bet that both camps have been down there, you know, working the issue, and we'll see who comes away with it. But, I do know that Lindy Blanchard was down there Monday, and I was not aware until just a moment ago when Dale Jackson said it that Mike Durant was down there Monday at Mar-a-Lago also. So, hey, line 5, I got Dustin from Huntsville. Dustin, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today, man?
Good, Phil. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. I can hear you fine.
Okay. I just got a quick question. Before Dale came on and your news break came in, I think it was the national news, ABC or whoever WVNN uses, said that we had officially accused Russia of war crimes today, and yeah, the representative that they had the audio clip of saying that they wanted to get the evidence that they knew of and save that evidence for future whatever they may do. What would we do? What is our recourse directly from the U.S. above what we're already doing? And internationally, what could they do?
Yeah, great question, Dustin. So yeah, to back up your comments, my understanding is that today Secretary of State Antony Blinken made a formal statement that, yes, they do believe that the Russian troops are guilty of war crimes. That's been kind of talked about, but now it's an official statement as a position, really, of the U.S. government. So what they can do is begin to gather that evidence and use it in the event that they ever prosecute somebody for war crimes at The Hague in the international courts, that evidence would have to be preserved. But the second thing they can do is they can use that as a backstop to future sanctions. So as things begin to wane slightly in Ukraine, or as you know, the dynamics begin to change in terms of foreign policy, they can always bring that stuff as leverage. They can use it as a backstop to justify additional sanctions, and they might even be able to use it to try someone in absentia in The Hague, because you know Putin's not going to show up at The Hague by subpoena. He's not going to do it. So I would say they could probably use it, if nothing else, as evidence, and then a conviction can limit their capacity for international credit and that kind of thing.
Okay, if I don't know what the likelihood of that would be, but I have two real quick questions. If that were to happen, even if he is charged in absentia, how would that affect, in your opinion, Russia and China's relations? Would China still continue, you know, doing the business that they're doing with him now? And second, in your opinion, since you have a military background, short of Russia directly attacking, you know, the United States or some of our assets like a ship or something, what do you think it would actually take for us to become directly involved in this?
Yeah, okay. Great questions, Dustin. So let me take the military side first. In terms of a red line, which is what the, you know, the term of art they tend to use, I think the red lines right now that I would say are in place are the use of nuclear, biological, or chemical weapons, chemical being the least among them, because if you just use employ something like a tear gas kind of situation, it's not a big deal. But if you employ something that is nuclear, biological, or then a far more deadly version of chemical, then you've definitely crossed into a new territory, especially
which
when
they
you
have
consider
massive stockpiles of.
They do have massive stockpiles, and Russian war doctrine says that when backed into a corner, the use of tactical nukes is on the table. And they actually made a statement yesterday on CNN, the chief spokesperson for Putin did, that they will not take tactical nukes off the table. So there's that. The other is crossing the border into a NATO country. So when you cross into Poland, when you cross into one of the Baltic states like Estonia,
Article 5
kicks in, and then we have to do it. What was your other question, Dustin? I know you had two there, and I just forgot the other one. I'm sorry.
If they are charged or Putin is charged, do you think that that would finally make China back away and continue or stop them propping them up, I guess?
Well, I think China's going to do what's good for China. So if China saw a reason to back away only because it benefited or helped China's position in the world stage, they'd do it in a heartbeat. I think Putin right now is almost like, the puppet, and they're the marionette. They're just the puppet master. They're just working the strings in the background. Sure, we'll buy your energy. Sure, we'll help you. But if something about sanctions against Russia due to war crimes extends into a broader context of international relations and sanctions against those who support it, then I could see China backing off, only though if it truly hurts China. If they can get away with it, they could care less. They're already thumbing their nose. Hey, Dustin, great call, man. Thanks for being in the audience. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. And yes, I do plan to get into the triple dipper today. We'll see about that next. Y'all stay tuned.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, so I got to tell you, before I move into number one of the triple dipper, which is the culture wars, the wackiness that happens when conservatism locks horns with liberals, there's more breaking news on this situation with Mo Brooks and Donald Trump. Story out right now, fresh within the last hour, breaking news, Representative Mo Brooks says that Trump asked him to rescind the 2020 election and remove Biden and call a special election. Oh, Lord, here we go. Now, of course, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, grain of salt, the source is CNBC. Yeah, so we'll see how this changes things, if at all. But truth be told, it's getting thick, and it's going to get thicker. There's got to be a way for Mo Brooks to separate himself from this unendorsement. And I don't know that this is it, but right now CNBC is jumping all over it because it gives them a chance to beat up on Trump. So here's a storyline. Fresh within the last hour, breaking news, Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama said ex-President Donald Trump had asked him to, quote, rescind the 2020 elections, immediately remove Joe Biden from the White House, immediately put President Trump back in the White House, and hold a new special election for presidency. Brooks said he drew Trump's ire by telling the former president his plan was not legal. Okay. It doesn't say when this occurred. There is some speculation that it actually occurred back during the inauguration time frame. Who knows? All I know is, once again, Alabama gets to be at the center of all things political. So, there you go. If they needed the chance to get Trump back in the news, he just gave it to them. He could have just kept his endorsement and talked to the super PACs about supporting Mo Brooks' campaign. But instead, he went with the unendorsement. And now we're looking at, basically a self-inflicted wound that just keeps this whole January 6th and election integrity as the forefront, as opposed to all the Biden administration's junk. Now, I believe the election integrity thing has to be dealt with. I think we have to have that as something we still consider. All right. Don't take my comments there as saying, I don't think it was a big deal. It was a big hairy deal. It was awful. But right now, what we're dealing with is we can work on both. We better have red states doing all they can to fix election integrity and trying to recoup their losses in state legislatures, if at all, so that we can do more about election integrity at the state level. However, in the meantime, we have got to work to put the right candidates in office come the midterms in 2022. That's got to be the focus. And what I don't want to see is an entire campaign season dominated by whether or not Trump is a good guy or not. I mean, Trump is still the top of the ticket, so to speak, for Republicans nationwide, and rightfully so. He was the last president, and he would be eminently better than who we have right now. But this campaign season is not about his candidacy. This campaign season is about the others that are running. And right now for U.S. Senate, Katie Britt, Mike Durant, and Mo Brooks are still the top three. One of those three is going to be your next U.S. senator. And I would rather the campaign be about them than about somebody who's not in office right now. Anyway, we'll see how it goes. All right, listen, I am going to move on to the Triple Dipper. The number one thing on the Triple Dipper today was the culture wars. So, it's amazing to me the things that I see. And I sometimes when I'm sourcing the show in the morning, I'm looking for things. I'm like, for instance, today I got stuff on Ukraine, second, third order effects. Wait, what was that story? No. And then I'll go on a few minutes later. I go, wait, what was this story? Oh, for the love. And then I realize there's so many stupid stories out there that y'all would benefit from hearing them. So I make a whole new thing on the Triple Dipper. Today, I'm just calling it Culture Wars. Here's the first one. Washington Examiner, dated yesterday. In the Washington Examiner, a Colorado school district has ditched valedictorian honors for high school graduates. Really? Really? That's what we're going to do? Yep. As of yesterday, a Colorado school district has announced it will eliminate class ranks and the valedictorian designation for graduating classes for the class of 2026 and beyond. Oh, they couldn't do it right away. They got to wait till 2026. The announcement comes in the form of a letter to families that said, "The practices of class rank and valedictorian status are outdated and inconsistent with what we know and believe of our students, according to KDVR. We believe all students can learn at high levels, and learning is not a competition. Life is a competition." Life is a competition, folks. I mean, if you're going to raise kids these days to believe that everything in life is about getting a participation trophy, then guess what? That's all you're going to have is people who participate. No one strives to win. You're not going to have more than two U.S. senators for the state of Alabama. So if everybody runs and everybody gets everybody can be a senator. It doesn't work that way in life. Everyone has the best mousetrap. You all have the best business. That's the world of equity and inclusion, all right? That's the world that says you don't have to achieve. We'll just give it to you. That's the world of big government trying to fix things. That's the world of liberal, distribution of wealth, all of it. It all comes back to that mindset. At least one parent told the Denver TV station that eliminating class ranks and valedictorians is not going to fix the stress that we're seeing for other students, and it would have had the added effect of taking away from those who want to work. Yes, I agree. Kids who are lazy and not getting good grades don't deserve to be valedictorians. Kids who have worked hard deserve to be recognized. Let's call it what it is. My daughter was salutatorian of her class, and we were proud. All right. Hey, I got a caller, and it looks like we're going to go back and forth on topics today, so let me just grab this on line one, Richard in Ardmore. Hey, Richard, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing today?
Hey, how are you, man? Look, I was wondering this. You may have already answered this question, but I hadn't heard anybody actually get to the root of the problem. You know, Putin himself, if he's been found to be a war criminal, other than putting sanctions on him, which is not going to do nothing to him personally, would the UN or NATO or somebody possibly go after him to try to hold him accountable?
Well, you say go after him.
I know that might start World War III, but other than put sanctions on him, what else could it? You're not going to hurt the man by doing.
Well, Richard, when you say go after him, you mean like go and actually arrest him and take him into custody?
Yeah, I mean, like they done with the Germans, you know, the Nazis when they had all of those.
The only way that's going to happen
stuff on trial.
Yeah, Richard, let me jump in. The only way that's going to happen is if there was a war in which he was taken captive as a part of the result of the, you know, outcome of the war. We're not going to go into Russia and with some kind of a search warrant or a subpoena and take him into custody. It's not going to happen. But what will happen is, like I said to a caller a few minutes ago, is you're going to look at increased levels of sanctions. You're going to look at the ability then to sanction others who work with him. You're going to look at the ability to withhold positions on perhaps the Security Council at the UN because he's a war criminal. You're taking away the ability for him to do things in the world, but we're not going to go over there and take him into custody and throw him in jail.
By ourselves. I was talking about the UN or NATO, you know, the whole everybody together. But, I mean, you know, if you're not actually going to hold him accountable or do something like that, are you going to talk about to do a sanction? You might as well not even be talking about it because it's not going to hurt him in any way.
Well, that's what I just finished saying. I think there are ways to make him feel the pain. It just doesn't mean that we're going to put him in chains. The only thing we can do is put him in international chains. Hey, Richard, thanks for the call. Yeah. I got somebody else on line too, so let me grab that, okay? You have a great day. Copper, you ready with that one? The next call, are we good? All right, she's still getting him sorted out. All right, so let me just do this. Folks, understand, the situation with Putin, being declared a war criminal has a variety of different things that can happen. Right now, believe it or not, Russia is a sitting member, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they are the current chair, like a rotating chair, the current chair country of the United Nations Security Council. What? Well, I don't know for a fact, but I'm pretty sure if they are declared to be led by a war criminal, that they abdicate opportunities at the UN, and that also creates opportunities for more sanctions. Doesn't mean we're going to wind up saying, Mr. Putin, come with us, please. You have the right to remain silent. That's not going to happen. Not unless there's an all-out, you know, shooting war, and at the end of it all, we take him into custody. But I don't see that happening. Got a line two. Let me grab this real quick. Dennis from Hartsville. Hey, Dennis. Phil Williams. How you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm good, sir. What's on your mind?
Quick question. Since you have been in politics, Lady Blanchard's running the commercials, you know, where she can basically deport the illegals, force them out of the state, put them on an airplane, yada, yada. Can she, as governor, do that? Or is that something like ICE or the federal government has to look into? And, you know, is that a duty of them? Or can the governor actually do that?
It's a mixed bag. So a few years ago when I was in the Senate, we actually passed a very comprehensive illegal immigration bill at the state level, which basically, if I had to sum it up, just basically said, hey, federal government, if you won't enforce your own laws, we'll do it ourselves. Now, the governor has the right to ask for the attorney general and to employ the state troopers, which worked for her, to do certain things. Like they can conduct raids at her direction if there is a reasonable, adequate cause or a reasonable suspicion. They can make it a priority, similar to what we had years ago when Bob Riley was governor. He made anti-gambling a priority. He formed his own task force. So there's things that a governor can do. Now, the governor can't enact laws, but the governor can enforce laws. So I would say there's some things she can do.
If they're receiving funds, you know, like federal funds, can she cut those off?
No, she cannot go into someone's bank account and cut them off from receiving their government benefits. And literally some things, like I said, are outside of her control. But if there's a law on the books, especially a state law on the books, she can seek to have that enforced and even, you know, even put emphasis on it with a task force or something like that.
Okay. You answered my question. Thank you a lot.
All right, man. Have a great day. Thanks, Dennis. All right. I tell you what, Copper, it's break time again. Wow. I don't know if we're going to get through number one, the Triple Dipper, Copper. What do you think?
Maybe not.
It's getting tough to imagine. We do have Copper's Corner coming up, too. So I don't know. I tell you what, you and I will talk about that during the break, how to time that out just right. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid and conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.